Yeah. Ray, you know what that means, Ray.
Mm-hmm. The man, the myth, the legend, no pun intended.
No, yeah, no pun.
Hud City, what up?
The Diddy, doctor has arrived.
Yeah, Diddy, what's good, baby?
I'm in a good space, man. Life is good. Yeah. I feel like life come at you so fast that when you're in a good groove, you just got to say it. You just got to let them know.
You winning? You winning right
I'm
now?
I'm winning right now.
Slay came
man.
In here looking like new money.
So, Diddy, like always, man, you listen to the show on the way down?
Yeah, of course, man.
What you think, though?
Beautiful. I mean, I like, you know, everything y'all was talking about. The gentleman, very intelligent. I had to break out my dictionary a couple of times. He put the voice on. He's like, yeah, we're talking about intrinsic or something like that here. I had to look that up. but I was with the movement. I'm with the movement, though. It was crazy because it was like a little hood, but there was a little educational. Like, he beat himself up. Like, yeah, and then this a movement. And then the intrinsic scientific. I was like, yo, they lit down there. I can't wait to get down there.
Yo, so did you do, you met the guys, right? Ty, that's Diddy, that's our man. Ty, he the author of the book that your daughter got, man.
Yeah. Which is, you know, a great story. We was kind of looking for something because she was going through this phase where, you know, she's not seeing characters that look like herself, you know, in the cartoons or in books and stuff like that. And we went to the book fair that they have every year here in Hudson, and that was one thing that she found. I forget the name, what it's called, When I Sleep or something like that. What's
when
the
I
one?
Close My Eyes.
Yes, When I Close My Eyes. Literally, we probably read that book every day for like 2 months. I was like, man, but she, big fan of the Big Head books, and, you know, it stood out. Once we became a fan, you know, we just started looking around for, you know, other books and, you know, different series and stuff like that. And it was just great to see, you know, something different on the shelf.
Well, if I may say this, I just read yesterday that Ty was autographing 300 books and sending them else places, and I'm gonna give him the clap for that. Hopefully he can send some of them down here to us, because we would like to have some more too.
Yeah.
Ty, you want to talk about that, the 300 books and everything like that?
Yeah, there's a little bit of a story that goes with that. My partner Eddie and I went down to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It was all really based upon one particular classroom that had gotten a hold of our books, or rather they had gotten a hold of us looking for books much like you did, looking for diverse characters, because this one particular teacher couldn't find books that her African-American students could relate to. So she reached out to us, and Eddie and I had a fundraiser where we raised $6,000. And with that $6,000, we got about 1,000 books that we brought down to the school in Florida, personally handed every child a book, and 99% of the population of that school is a child of color. And so it was really unbelievable to have these kids. It was almost an epiphany for these kids to be able to say, first of all, this is a book with a character that looks like me. Mm-hmm. And then when they actually read the book, they said, wait a minute, it sounds like me. It feels like me, talks like me. And it really was revolutionary to these kids to be able to have literature reflect them, because it is, unfortunately, in this country, there's such a lack of diversity in children's literature. But to get back to the original question, when we got down there, we made such an impact that we've, in the last year, sent about 1,000 books to the United Way and partnering with them to help promote literacy within the city of Fort Lauderdale. And this year, they're having me back again to speak to 300 people, educators and adults, to talk to them about how they can assist their families in promoting literacy to their kids. And they ordered another 300 books to give out during this speaking engagement that I'm at. So very honored and privileged that people are getting it. You know, it's not about me. It is, like my brother Eddie said, it's about the movement and about and empowering and educating our children to be more than the media says that they can be.
And something, if I can point out real quick, though, after the applause. Yeah, it's worthy. Something that was really important about that trip is that the school that we originally went to, tested in the lowest 10th percentile in the state of Florida when it comes to education and especially literacy. And for after Ty and I's visit, during our visit, to see every child in that school sitting down in the hallways, outside at recess, whatever the case may be, reading this book that they just received from the author. And I swear, it's amazing, brothers, to see, to go somewhere with Ty. And Ty is like the Jay-Z of books. Like, you know, literally, we walk into the spot. You know what I mean? I guess that makes me Dame. But you know what I'm saying? we walk into the spot. And literally, these kids are like, ah, oh my God, oh, it's Mr. Jackson, it's Mr. Jackson. And this is about books. Mm-hmm. This is about reading. This is about literacy. And what greater gift could you possibly give, man? It's an awesome feeling, man. We love what we do.
Yeah, and one thing I got to add, which he went into kind of was the dialogue and the pictures and everything of how it looks. And it was real. Like, it wasn't like they overdid it. You know how people try to too black something?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
You're like, well, this really don't fit the need of what I was trying to look for. And that definitely fit the need. And I remember we talked about it on a previous show that we had. And I was saying, yeah, my daughter got this book. And Vern's like, yo, that's my man. You know that, right? I'm like, yeah, you know. And he like, no, really. Like, that's
that's what's up. So
something that and I give Ty a lot of credit for this, brother, is that this was actually a conscious decision. This wasn't by happenstance. Mm-hmm. Every book that Ty has written has been written as having a African-American protagonist. It's not written for black children.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing in there is referencing the hood. Nothing is referencing any other stereotype that's supposedly associated with modern-day African-Americans. Any child, you could replace that with an Asian child, a Latin child, mm-hmm. anything, and it would have the same positive effect. The cool part is just that, you know, we have been able to, so I don't want to call it, I guess, crossover to a certain extent, just due to the fact of the way that Ty has written the books. We actually hold the record for book sales in Sheffield, Massachusetts. Like, say that out loud. Like, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, I don't even know if there is an African-American who lives in Sheffield. So you know what I mean? So it's a really cool, you know what I mean? It's a testament to the way that the books are written.
If I may, I like to use the word inclusive. And that's really what it is, so more than crossing over. Crossing over means that, you know, that it was necessary to bring it to the forefront. Enough. And even though it was very necessary, but the important thing is that we have to have our children have to feel relevant. They have mm-hmm. to feel important. They have to feel included. But in doing so, it's also important to expose other cultures to the exact same level of community and diversity. So to write books for black kids about black kids makes no sense, you know, because we don't live in a black world. We don't live in a white world. We live in an inclusive world. So the books that we make need to reflect that inclusive world that we live in. So like Ed said, my characters could easily be an Asian girl, could easily be a Hindu boy, because we want to make sure that everybody feels inclusive. We don't want kids to pick up this book and go, that doesn't feel like me. This book feels like every child, and that's the important thing about them.
That's what's up. Can I give him another clap, guys?
Pretty
we,
please.
Yo, we normally keep don't hand them. We normally don't hand these claps out. Like, yeah. They're hard to get around here. All right, Slade, before you go, I want to ask you guys about the book pack giveaway that you guys had. It was enormous. I want you guys to talk to me about that. And you can use either mic, man, which one you feel comfortable with. Maybe you should use that one so I could talk to you at the same time.
Right on. So Man Up got together, spearheaded by our brother Warren Dews Jr., who happens to be the vice president of circulation for the Berkshire Eagle in Pittsville, okay. Massachusetts. He pulled his magical strings and hooked up with a local company there called Sabeck. Sabeck came through and funded for us to receive 500 backpacks full of school supplies. So everything that your child comes home with on that list, you know, from the Kleenex to the scissors to the glue sticks, yada, yada, we were able to put that in 500 backpacks that we were able to give to children in our local area. How we decided which children get that was really cool. We connected with the superintendent of schools, Jason McCandless, who's a really progressive dude, man. We're really lucky he just re-signed the contract. And we took all the students who are receiving free or reduced lunch. And the offer was made to them at first. I was allotted 50 backpacks that I was able to take to the Berkshire County House of Correction and give this away as gifts from dad to the moms and the children who are home. That's really important to me. Yeah, and it's important for those dads to feel like they are able to contribute to the welfare of their children, especially with not being there when it was time to go back to school. And I'm sure that meant a lot. And we're getting a lot of thank yous and blessings from that. And then the rest of it is just, you know, us, whatever we had left, we're going around and we're giving as much as we can to whoever we can who's in need. Once again, not families who want, but families who are in need. Mm-hmm. So one thing that we did also do today is we brought five down here to the Drive Time Show for hopefully for you guys to be able to give away however you see fit. So we're really blessed for that.
Man, y'all, we going to start calling y'all the clap twins, man. Y'all just, every time they start talking, they're getting clapped.
You got to be a little careful in how you use that that term, if I'm not saying. You know what I'm saying? I love my brother, but I don't love my brother. You know what I'm saying?
You got that. That was a pause-worthy moment. My bad. My bad. My bad.
The applause, brother, sounds a little more.
What you got, Slay?
Where you want me to go?
Listen, you got a Skittle for us?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So what we also do, guys, is Slay, you want to explain Skittles to the guys and to everybody so that they know what they are? I know it's a long.
Yeah, go into it for them while I pull it up.
Okay,
I gotta get it ready.
All right. A Skittle, like, basically, the way it came about was, you know how whenever you bug in a black mom for something, she always takes what you're asking her for and put it in a sentence? You know, like, if you say, Mom, I want to go to the movies, and she's like, no, you can't go to the movies, but I got movie money, and she's like, take your movie money ass in there and sit down.
Yeah.
Well, she always, like, moms be freestyling all the time.
That's awesome.
Well, what happened was with him and a friend of ours, shout out to Lego Legend, that it was a Skittle. And she was like, well, you know, Skittle your ass to the car. So basically what Slay does is he picks these people that either done something really stupid or retarded and just doesn't make any sense. And he brings them up, and we Skittle them. And we Skittle people such as Obama.
Yeah,
I mean, the Skittle has no boundaries.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean? He Skittled some big-time people, man. Soulja Boy was a good one. Soulja Boy was running around with fake jewelry and fake money.
Yep.
And fake money in the video. Yeah.
No, and in the picture.
Well, I think one of my favorite Skittles was when he Skittled the lady who said that she was going to sue Disney for stealing her Frozen story.
Yeah, she was Frozen. Yeah. Yeah. What'd you guys like?
So, I need Brandon Lamar Williams to holler at us here in the station. Now, young Brandon, 24, what he did was he was involved in a robbery and a high-speed chase. Now, the incident began in Rouge Park area in Detroit. Two victims were sitting in their 2015 Ford Fusion. Brandon allegedly approached them with a gun and, you know, he basically started the process of a carjacking. So now there was a bystander next to him, and she was scared. He told the bystander, don't you worry, I don't rob black people. This don't got nothing to do with you. So then,
this really happened.
Yes, this really happened. Brandon Williams, he goes on to pistol whip. He tried to pull the trigger on the victims. The gun jammed. He then goes on to pistol whip them, breaking one of their noses. He gets in the truck, doesn't take the emergency brake off. So he's trying to have a high-speed chase with the emergency brake on. Another bystander comes, tries to help him because they don't know that the car is being carjacked. So he points the gun at them. They run away. He hops out of the car this time, gets back into the car that he arrived in, which was also stolen. At this point, police are on the scene. They go on a high-speed chase, about a five-minute-long chase. He crashes into a telephone pole and is arrested. So I need Brandon Lamar Williams The Skittle his ass. Well, not to the car. Not to the car this time. Yeah, he just got to Skittle his ass up out of here.
Now back up, put the gun down, and give me a pack of Tropical Fruit Bubblicious. And some Skittles.
Share the rainbow. Taste the rainbow. Rainbow.
You can't make this stuff up, man. Can't. Like,
nah.
Could you imagine the person facing like... I'll rob black people. Like,
what?
I'm gonna just go ahead and go on there.
Yeah, like, I'm out.
You start pulling out your wallet. Like, I got money too. What you mean?
No, I'm not doing that, Ray. I'm not doing that. Like,
Ray got offended. Yeah. First of all, offended. Black lives matter. You gonna rob me?
That's right. Ray. You better take this $5 I got.
He's stupid, dog. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. I was telling y'all about the kid Nathaniel. This song right here is kind of hot, man. It's for the thick bone ladies. It's a good song, yeah, man.
Thick bone ladies.
Yeah, it's called A Little More Love. Like, okay. The thicker women, the thick women. You know, they in the building. So, right. Shout out to my boy KG and Nathaniel, and we'll be right back.
For winter, she keep me warm in the winter. So flexible when I bend her. In the bed, take a long more to fill her. Head high, she's carefree. She only wanna take care of me. And she's fly, head to toe. Just can't let her go. If you ain't find one, you know what you're missing. A little more love from the plus size women. A little more love, a little more kisses, a little more hugs. Can you be my missus? If you ain't find one, you know what you're missing. A little more love from the plus size women. Wake me up and rock me back to sleep all in one night. Never would she let you win her heart without a fight. And strap on, she's a stallion. Only a real man can ride it. So live, and she full of surprises. Never gonna let you go. Where they at though? Where they at? Let's go. Plus thighs, thick thighs. Where they at though? Where they at? Where they at? A little more love, a little more kisses, a little more hugs. Can you be my missus?
Can you be my missus?
You know what you're missing.
Oh, no.
A little more hugs, can you be my missus? If you ain't found one, you know what you're missing. A little more love for the plus size women.
Shorty got love for me, a little more love for me. Got them kisses and them hugs for me, she got love for me. She come and keep me company, she get anything she want from me. Got love for me, a little more love for me. Got them kisses and them hugs for me, she got love for me. Come and be my company, you get anything you want from me.
A little more love, a little more kisses, a little more hugs. Can you be my missus? If you ain't found one, you know what you're missing. A little more love from the plus size women. A little more love, a little more kisses, a little more hugs. Can you be my missus? If you ain't found one, you know what you're missing. A little more love from the plus size women.
Yeah. Where they at though? Where they at? Where they at? Where they at though?
You got it, Ray.
Yeah, plus yeah, size, yeah, yeah. We back. That was a dope track.
Yeah.
Definitely smooth vibe.
Plus size women, word, for real.
Yeah,
good
you already know. Shout out to KG. Shout out to Nathaniel.
Yeah.
You already know.
A little more love. I think I'm going to get him to call up here and explain that song, man. I want to know if he really feel that way or if he was just trying to get ahead.
Make a whole song.
Listen, he trying to tap into a market.
That's what I was saying. He trying to tap into a market.
That was a marketing move.
That might be the lie he tell.
So where we at? Let's talk about these books. We made an agreement with the guys. They donated some books. We're going to do a book review. They said if we don't do it, they're going to skittle us.
Yeah.
No worries. But let's talk about the books, Ty. Ray, I'll hand this mic off so you can get some shine.
So there are four books. They are all self-published. So we're not relying on anybody else to for our success. We are started our own company so that we can put these things out our own way and promote them our own way. The very first book is a book titled Danny Dollar. It promotes financial literacy, which is so important to our children for several reasons. One, money is not taught in schools. They teach us math, but they don't teach us money, which I think that there's a, you know, I can get on my soapbox and say why that is. But, you know, that's maybe a title for another show. But it's also taboo. It's also taboo around especially African-American homes, around black homes, just because there's such a lack of financial knowledge that parents fail to pass whatever knowledge they're lacking money. So it's almost a taboo conversation. We're we're quicker to talk about the birds and the bees than we are talking about stocks and bonds. So this book is something that I created to help children better understand the world of finance, but also for adults too. So very proud of this book. The second book is titled When I Close My Eyes, and it teaches something that, in my opinion, is the most powerful thing in the universe, and that's the power of imagination. Because before our children can dream about being anything, but before our children can think about being anything, they first have to imagine it. They first have to imagine themselves as the president. They have to imagine themselves as a doctor or a lawyer before they can actually bring that to fruition. Yep. So this book helps establish why imagination is so important. My third book is titled The Super Duper Kid, which is a really great, fun superhero classic good versus evil story. I like to call it something of a comic novel. So it's kind of a great transitional book when you're going from a picture book to a chapter book. It's nice big words, but it's also got comic book illustrations. So it's really appealing to young readers, and especially young readers of color who don't like to read. So when you add that comic book component to it, it really enhances the book. But it also has elements of science, elements of bullying, and also, obviously, because it's a superhero story, elements of goodwill. And then my most recent book is titled You Are Amazing, I Am Amazing, and it's a picture book that helps establish and build self-esteem within our children. Because I firmly believe, one, as parents, we're so consumed with being radio hosts and entrepreneurs and this and that, spouses and workers, that sometimes we fail to acknowledge what we all admit is the most important thing in our lives, and that's our children. So this book helps establish and tell them how amazing and beautiful they are, all of them, not just the blonde hair, blue-eyed ones, but which seem to get all of the love in children's books. So this book is really important to affirm that every single child on this planet, regardless of how you look, you are beautiful and amazing just the way you are.
That's the, yeah, that's, go for us, V. I see you reaching.
Oh, is that the effect? quick
question. I'm looking at all four of these books, and they're very well put together. So being that you got, you have a company, do you outsource illustrators, or do you have you hired someone under your umbrella to be, you know, your go-to person for your illustrations when bringing these books together and bringing them to fruition?
Yes, when I got started, and I literally did this from scratch. This is just completely organic. There's no company behind us supporting us. This is all out of pocket. So as a first-time author, I actually reached out to a first-time illustrator, and he's the person responsible for the first three books. The last book, actually, we used real children instead of illustrations. In fact, there are over 120 children featured in the You Are Amazing, I Am Amazing book, and they're all from the city of Pittsfield. So a big clap up to the city of Pittsfield for representing, and for Jason McCandless, again, the superintendent that my father, Eddie Taylor, alluded to. We got a little alternated clap. Yeah, that's about it.
Be on his DJ flow.
It's all good. But all the pictures were done by photographic extraordinaire Eddie Taylor, my brother. So we were able to insource, not outsource, and have my brother do all of the pictures that feature all these amazingly beautiful children. And the graphic artwork was done by Jolene Bull over at In Touch Printing in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. A little blatant love for her. Thank you very much. So the answer to the question is, we really have all the illustrators in-house, everything we kind of do in-house. I think eventually we'll be at a point where we can start outsourcing and getting taking on other authors, taking on other illustrators. But for right now, until this movement is officially underway, until the nation is standing up in arms and saying, get booking and Big Head Books, then, you know, at that point, I think we'll be in a position where we can take on other outside authors and illustrators.
At what point did you realize, like, because I see the passion for literacy, for uplifting the children in the community, all children of all races, all, you know.
Yes, sir.
At what point did you guys realize that this was a necessity in your community and that you were going to be the guys who stood up and said, we're going to start the movement to make this happen for our kids?
This originally started from a question from my 7-year-old son several years ago and asked me, Dad, can we open up a lemonade stand? So as a proud dad, I stood on a corner with a sign saying lemonade, 75 cents. And in 3 hours, my 7-year-old son made $50 selling lemonade, which completely blew my mind. And then he said, Dad, what am I going to do with all this money? Because I'm thinking he'll make $5, $10. We get some ice cream, call it a day. $50 is a whole new conversation. Mm-hmm. So I go to Barnes & Noble to see if I could find a book to help me teach my son about money. First of all, there are no books that teach kids about money, which, again, I could get on my soapbox about but won't do. But, of course, there were no books featuring children of color. Mm-hmm. And what I discovered is that since the year 2000, only 7% of all books, children's books published feature a child of color. 7%. That means 93% of the books that are published only feature Caucasian characters. And that's just insane to me. When people of color actually make up 36% of the population in this country, but the books to help empower them and educate them and expand their mind and imagination, there's only 7%. And that's 7% total. I mean, 7% for there's only 3% for African Americans, less than 1% for Hispanics, less than 1% for Asians, and maybe 2% for Indian Americans. So it's really crazy when you think about it. But again, that's a topic that I'm going to talk about in a couple of months. I've been very privileged to ask to do a TED Talk about this particular topic. So in December, I will be in Albany doing a TED Talk about the lack of diversity in children's literature. So, bang.
There you go.
I got to give it to him, Ray. My bad. I got to
do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Woo. That boy left the mic smoking, too. Yeah, but yeah, dang. Yeah. Hold that.
So I could get on my soapbox, so we're going to talk about that later.
Yeah. Ty, when you are ready to do the thing in Albany, please stop by. Send us something. Yes. And we'll promote any way we can, dog.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
The support.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
What we try to do is I try to keep the show moving. You know what I'm saying? A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Let's talk about Damon Wayans, guys.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's do it.
All right. Everybody got the headphones on? I got audio. Let's talk about it. Y'all tell me how y'all feel. We all got kids. I know how I feel about this. Y'all tell me.
Now, if you just joined us, Damon Wayans stopped through last week, and he made some comments about Bill Cosby and his victims that people didn't like. Let's hear it.
The first time, bitch, how many times did it happen? Listen to what they're saying. And some of them really is unrapeable. When you look, I look at them and go, no, you don't want that. Get out of here.
But I
go on, get you. Get up, get out of here.
No, but I understand the dynamics of
people. They might have been hot in their younger days.
No, you can tell, dude. For anybody who was raped by Bill Cosby, I'm sorry. And I hope you get justice. You other bitches, he gave me 2 pills. He wasn't a doctor back then.
All right, y'all, let's talk about it, man. We're gonna go around the room. Ray, we started off for me. How you feel? What you think? Where you at?
I mean, you're a slayer already. No, I'm Mr. Politically Correct. So I don't think that was definitely not the form. And then, I mean, I think he took it way too lightly. We know Damon Wayans for being a funny guy and everything like that. But this is a serious matter. This is this man's character coming into play. This is this man's legacy coming into play. And although some people will look at the situation like, you know, Cosby has pretty much lived his career and done what he needed to do in his life, the man still has to live the rest of his days. And I felt like to take such light to something so serious to me, mm-hmm. I think it's a disrespect.
But correct me if I'm wrong, but you sound like you mad he disrespected Bill Cosby.
Oh, no. I just, you know what it is? It's, for me, I mean, he's entitled to say whatever you mm-hmm. want. But at the same time, like, that's a serious situation to be going through, man. Like, that's serious.
No. There's no right or wrong in this one. Go to Ty. Slay, you bring us home. Mm-hmm. Tear it up. We know you got money.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, we know you got it.
About the rap.
The bar. You from the Bronx, too?
No, first of all, shame on you, sir. Shame on you for not showing some love to your sisters. It's bad enough that we've got the media out there disrespecting our women. But when this man, and listen, when there's smoke, there's fire. I'm sorry. I'm a big believer in the history of people. And when this is not new. This is decades that people have been coming to the forefront and talking about this. And, you know, I believe that innocent until proven guilty, there's no question about that. But you couldn't be more insensitive to the women about this. And one thing that wasn't said in that little segment that I heard Damon Wayans say was that if that was my daughter, I would beat his ASS. That's what he said.
You can say, I say
he said ass.
Yeah.
He said in that interview, if that was my daughter who accused him, I would whoop Bill Cosby's ass. But because it wasn't my daughter, I'm just going to fall back and look at all the ladies and not believe them. So what I mean, you incriminated yourself the moment that you said that. That is horrible honor and disrespect. Just because he's your idol doesn't mean he can't be a fallen idol. And that's exactly what he is.
Ooh, boy, he's smoking today, dog. I'm gonna go before you, Ed, because I know you and Slay could bring it home. I just feel Damon Wayans is a comedian, and I'm gonna tell y'all what, man. I'm gonna tell y'all something, and y'all can say whatever you like, but to laugh about rape is very hard to do. It's hard to laugh about death. It's hard. Like, he made me chuckle. I don't think he was serious. I thought he was doing more the unrapeable part. I think he might have crossed the line on that. But as you listen to him, and I'll play it for you again, he kind of chuckled and he laughed. I mean, he's a comedian. He's on a radio show. Everybody's listening. He's a comedian. Ty, that information that you just gave me, it does change my thought pattern because I did not hear him say if it was my daughter. But, I mean, these comedians are getting into a bunch of trouble for being comedians, and that's what they do. And, I mean, that's just my take on it.
You know, I kind of agree with you a little bit there, Big V, and it was because of the comedic aspect of it. I can sort of see where he was going. But I think what disturbed me most was actually in context of what we were talking about, or what he was talking about, he was referring to them as bitches.
Okay.
And that part makes it misogynistic. And I mean, I think there's something deep rooted about his hatred for women. And I'm going to call him out on that. You know what I mean? That forced him. That wasn't part of the joke. And to consider a woman who tries to stand up and say, you know, that I was raped, to refer to her as being some silly bitch for standing up and saying that she was raped by his icon says more about him. You know what I'm saying? And I find it very disturbing. If it was just a joke and he was just being comedic, he could have went and just said, you know, whatever he wanted to say. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he really tried to drive that point home, he said it like two or three times. You know what I mean? Sort of was telling to me that this was it was personal, it was misogynistic, and there's something deep-rooted that's wrong and flawed with Damon.
All right. No right or wrong. What you think, Diddy?
I mean, it's kind of like what we talked about last week with the comedian who made the joke about Beyonce's daughter.
Yep.
It's some places you just don't go. And we could always say, you know, as a comedian, it's your job to make uncomfortable things funny. But when it's not funny, you didn't do your job. And I think, like, when I heard it, two or three times I heard it, like, I laughed each time, but I laughed because, not because he was hilarious, I laughed because how ignorant he sounded. Like, I couldn't believe it. Like he can't be serious right now. And I just think, you know, he was looking for that to be played over and over and over, and he was looking to say something controversial, and he was looking to make a joke, but it was just poor taste.
All right. Anybody got any, they want to go back on it and touch it again?
Here's my problem with the whole thing, and we talk about it as a joke. I mean, rape is no laughing matter.
No, you're right.
There is nothing comedic about being raped. Mm-hmm. And let's take, for example, I believe that only one out of every four women who is raped actually come forward. Mm-hmm. So do you think making a joke about this is going to assist them in coming forward about being raped? We all have children. We all have loved ones in our lives, females in our lives. The last thing we would ever want them to do is be harmed. But if they were, we would want them to have the courage to come forward. Mm-hmm. And when we make jokes about it, we are suppressing that. We are telling them, we don't want you to come forward, because if you do, we got comedians who make millions of dollars who are going to make fun of you because of it. Mm. So again, shame on you, sir. Shame on you for disrespecting our women and our culture of women, all women, because they are the most, they are our earth. They are where we come from. And for you to insult them in this way is dishonorable.
Now, Ty, I want to play devil's advocate.
Go, sir.
And the reason why I want to play devil's advocate, because you said something very important. He said he's innocent until proven guilty. Mm-hmm. If Damon does not believe that Bill raped these women, and rape is not a funny matter, but if he doesn't believe that, then it's going to be more of a joke to him than it would be for someone who actually believes that. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. But here's where Mr. Cosby's character comes into play. He had said once before that he had never had relationships with any of those women. Mm-hmm. Then, under a signed affidavit, it was stated that he actually had to come out because he was being sued. And he said, yes, I did have some relations with some of the women. So at one point you said you didn't. But when you had to say you did, you said you did. So where is his character come into play? Why isn't, you know, he questioned and grilled the way that these women are? You know, I just think it's a slippery slope, and I agree with you. Of course, he's innocent until proven guilty. The problem is statute of limitations.
Because
it was, you know, these were things were so long ago that he actually can't be tried for some of them. Mm-hmm. So, but either way, man, whether that's true or not, this is rape we're talking about. We all have, we cannot under any circumstances make fun or light of women being raped.
I agree, but see, that's the thing about it. I'm playing devil's advocate because I agree. But there's been many a situations when things went wrong and people falsified rape.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm playing devil's advocate because that's how we do here.
Especially with celebrities.
Yeah. Especially with celebrities. There have been many a situations. So I think it all goes with the person. If Damon is saying that, you know, Bill is his mentor, this guy, he doesn't believe it. It doesn't make it right. And rape is nothing to play with. And I think, as Slay said, it was a bad stage. He went too far. Yeah. But if he doesn't think it's that he would actually rape those people, how much fault can we give him?
Not to go too far left into that realm. But for me, if it was one or two, maybe three, I probably would have been like, they might just be trying to come off. Look at the situation with Michael Jackson and the children. I mean, but you got 50, and then there's supposedly numbers that we don't even know that decided that they weren't even going to get involved in coming forward. I started kind of treading the fence when you got 10 turned to a dozen turned to 30, 30 turned into 50. You got 50 people to possibly lie about something as serious as rape? I don't buy it.
Well, at that point, you know, it becomes, I want attention too. Like, it could be some of them girls are lying. Some of them could be out of the 50. I'm not saying they are. I'm not saying they aren't. I'm just saying it's a possibility. Because, like, the way the numbers just grown and now everybody's coming out and everyone's, you know, on the news and doing all these things, like, and we all know what happens to celebrities. Like, you know, there's a lot of times, you know, women put them in compromising situations. There's a lot of times, you know, you fall asleep and you wake up and your picture's all over social media, you know.
I do hope that if that is the case and some of these women are lying, I hope they're able to sleep at night. Because, like Ty said, rape is a serious thing.
So then let's not blur the lines. And my point is that this conversation was contextually put about Damon Wayans and his joke. Mm-hmm. This isn't about whether or not Bill is innocent or guilty. Mm-hmm. That's irrelevant. The point is, was it tasteful or tactful or even remotely appropriate for him to even use a term like unrapeable and use the word bitch when referring to these women? Who are claiming to be a victim, whether they are or not, is irrelevant. This was about Damon Wayans and about his lack of taste and judgment and intelligence in telling this joke.
I agree.
Yeah.
Did I get a clap for that?
Yeah, man. Yo, we had a good cipher right there, man.
Well said.
Yeah, well said. Well said. Everybody, there we go. See, Ty, you know what's good about having guys like you on the radio? It's because your passion seeps right through the microphone. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's what's good. Like, and that's why we always say we don't listen to each other. We don't know what we're going to talk about. Because that's real. That was real right there for you. And I appreciate that. I will give you another clap, but
thank
I'm
you,
almost
brother.
Clapped out. We got a lemon on. I'm
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Break
I was thinking, I'm like, man, his woman at home, she preparing dinner. She done lit. She done set the tub. He was going in for the ladies and all women. And we're going to stir. We're not going to stir. For this? Oh man, she done dimmed the lights.
You
gonna come home like I know I paid the bill. What's going on?
And V, you just read my mind because right before you said that, I was thinking to myself like, these dudes bring some serious passion. Yeah. Yeah. And I kind of glanced over at Eddie, and I'm like, you can see the look on his face about this situation.
Yo, he hit you with the Robin Thicke. Well, let's not blur the lines.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Just the conviction on his face, because you can tell a lot from a person's, you know, the way a person holds themselves and their posture and all of that. And just the look and expression on his face, you just see the passion before he even gets to speak a word. And that, same for Ty as well. But
they was backing each other up. Yeah, you know, yeah. He just snatched the microphone out. I'm like, you know, man, I'm like, we ain't make the joke. we gonna write the review. You ain't gotta do all that.
And by review, I'm gonna be like, they were kind of overly passionate, but the book was good.
Oh man. Yeah. All right. So